I want to talk about Advent, the coming of the Lord. Basically, we're celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago that they were waiting 4,000 years for it to happen. Galatians says, when in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son born of a woman. And in Colossians, it says, for in him is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form, in whom we have been made complete. I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you give me for this picture? I won't tell you what's in it. What if I told you I had 25? What if I, 20, I get 25, 25, 5, 5, 5, 5. What if I told you I had a bill in here for $500 trillion, which I did, but I couldn't find. I had a Zimbabwe bill I was hunting around the house this morning looking for. You got it? You have it with you? Well, let's make this thing worthwhile. I'll give it back. This is a certified check. It's only $50 trillion. Okay, so now let's say somebody wrote this with the idea that it was worth $50 trillion, Mugabe and his government in Zimbabwe. So I put it inside the vessel. What do you think's worth more right now? Well, let's say the money's really worth the money, okay? Would you rather have what's in the vessel or the vessel? What's in the vessel, okay, that's the point. And does this seem like anything fancy? So if you were God, how would you have come? Would you have come born of two poor parents and been born in a manger? Would you, if you were God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the one we sang about this morning, the grandeur of God, would you have come as a vulnerable child? Would you have, you created mankind, you actually created flesh, would you have come and put yourself in a vessel like this? When inside is God Almighty. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in this picture. And this picture, the treasure, is eternal. It says in Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, 7, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. I would like you to think of yourself this morning as this. You're really no big deal. Okay, some of you think you are, some of you are. You know, you can be impressed with yourselves if you want. But you're a vessel. But in you dwells a treasure of inestimable value. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In you dwells something, and the outer man is decaying. This vessel will start to chip, and where if I drop it, it breaks, it's no longer any good. But the outer man is decaying. That's called gray hair. But it's being renewed day by day, this treasure, which is eternal. And that's why we are sojourners. That's why we are passing through. I mean, I could get this thing, this vessel refired up, you know, it starts chipping, I'll get it painted again, you know, so we can go, we can take care of our bodies and do all the things that would be good stewardship, but essentially, it's going one way. But the treasure is here. Earthen vessels are just that. They're normal, and they're ordinary. But they carry an eternal treasure. 1 Corinthians, he says, there's not many mighty, which might mean there's a few, but not many that are mighty or noble that have come to God, and that through their own wisdom, they didn't even come to know who God is, as bright as they are. We're exhorted to see our strength is actually manifested mostly in weakness, which is counterintuitive to everything we believe about strength. Strength is, I'm going to take this on, but there's something about strength being exalted in weakness. There's little value of a clay, a jar, or a pitcher. Humble receptacle for an invaluable treasure. Man himself is made out of dust, yet it's a treasure made in God's image. As Christians, we carry knowledge of God in our cargo. He dwells with us. The Word made flesh dwells among us. God is with us. And who has hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? He is the good news. Now, the baby in the manger was the greatest treasure in an earthen vessel that ever happened to humanity. And I want to go back, because like us, he's fully human, yet like, but as God, he's fully God, yet he laid down his glory. He laid it down to show us how to live. The Son of God used weakness to glorify the Father and redeem lost humanity, which was really strength. So turn, if you will, to Luke, and I wanted to get back to the story of Zacharias, which means the Lord remembers. And when I'm talking about this, let's say that together, the Lord remembers. Okay. Has anyone ever said to you, do you remember, Kevin, when, I kind of remember that. You don't remember when that happened? I said, I remember. That's how we remember sometimes. And sometimes we just say, no, I don't even remember. Then someone shows you a picture and you say, I get it. I remember. Because our memory kind of fades, but his memory never fades. Not only did he know you before the foundations of the earth, he knows before you speak a word on your mouth, even the thoughts that you have, Psalm 139. So God remembers everything. He remembers you when you were 2 years old. He remembers you. He just remembers everything. And one of the battles people have is we get distance from God and wondering, does he really remember? Does he remember me? Am I just part of the church? Or am I just this? Oh, I know God loves me and all that, but does he remember me personally? Is he personally acquainted with every single detail of my life? Every hair that falls to the ground, he numbers it. He's got me inscribed on the palm of his hands. Does he remember me as Lori came up to me before church today talking about Danielle, and she was broken because she's remembering her daughter who is really struggling, and she's a parent. So how does God remember us? Does he just remember us like, oh yeah, I remember Kevin. Uh-huh, yeah, he's all right. You know, maybe. He remembers, and I want to say something else. He remembers every prayer, every petition that you've ever done in your entire life. Every prayer for salvation who's not saved yet, every prayer for healing who's not healed yet, every burden and Red Sea situation that you're into that he hasn't healed yet, God remembers everything. And he doesn't remember it lightly. Bring up that first quote. I did it last week. Somebody said they liked the quote, so I think I'll... Faith is the deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you may not understand at the time. In other words, faith, a lot of times people try to psych themselves up, but it's a deliberate choice and confidence in the character of God, that he remembers, that he's with you in every circumstance, every situation. Next one. See not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. We get it backwards. I have to figure it out before I can believe, and yet believe that where he's put you, what he's doing, is exactly his purpose. Sometimes it's mysterious. Sometimes it's a conundrum. Sometimes it doesn't fit, but we believe he's in it. He's on the journey. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Next one. If the Lord fails me at this time, it'll be the first time. That's my confession. Mike, your confession? First time. He's never failed. Next one. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. The future is passed by to God. Our times are in His hands. But we are here today. In Him we live and move and have our being. And so we can trust Him right now. Last one. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. Isn't that good? Someone who knew that, Corrie Ten Boom, most of you know who she is, but she was a woman who was put in a concentration camp during World War II. She and her family smuggled Jews in Holland, and the Nazis finally got them, and then her sister died in the concentration camp. And amazing person, but worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. I mean, there's a lot to be concerned about, right? As we project out. But you got to be careful. If you're so far out there, you're robbing today of its strength and what God has for you today. So we have this story in Luke. Luke has written, and Luke's a doctor. And Luke, so he's very detailed. He's a diagnostician. And he said he wanted to give not just the truth about what had happened, but the exact truth. So he says that in the preface. And then the story goes on. It's in the days of Herod, Herod was basically a secular Jew, half-Jew, and he was a lackey for the Roman government. If he could keep the Jewish situation under control, then he'd be in good shape with Rome. And then it's time at the temple. Herod did rebuild this temple, so it was in good shape, and it's time for Zechariah, who in the division he was in, there were 24 divisions of priests, and they were the eighth in line, and so he got to, their particular, the sons of Abijah, they got to go in twice a year to the temple to offer incense. So, but there are 1,000 priests, so out of that, you can just do the math, it's possible that you would never get to do this as a priest. But they cast lots, and it's a particular day, and Zacharias is picked. So Zechariah, it says they were righteous and devout, they're good people, they didn't have a lot, they're from the hill country, and it's his day. So let's go to verse 8, we'll begin there. Now it happened that while he was performing the priestly service before God in the appointed order and division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside in the hour of incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled. I'd have been a lot more than troubled. I mean, he is there and sees an angel. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. And that's like a paralysis. It just overcame him. But the angel said to him, almost every time you'll see an angel in the scripture, it says, don't be afraid, because everybody's always afraid. Fear not. It's our first defense mechanism always when the unknown starts to happen. It's why we're sometimes afraid of more of God, because it means less of us. We lose less control, and it's a fearful thing. But if we move into faith, that fear subsides. But he says, but the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he was yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah said, hallelujah, this is so good. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. I've been praying this way my whole life. You know what, I just, it's, it, Zacharias was just like Peter later on when it says the church was praying fervently for Peter when he was in jail. And an angel came and busted the chains. Peter gets out of jail, goes to the prayer meeting, knocks on the door, and he says, it's Peter. And they said, they didn't believe him. They were praying fervently for him to get out. God does that. And they didn't believe he got out. The angel says, your petition has been heard. Well, he's advanced in years. Most people think he might have been close to 60. That's really old. George, that is so stinking old. Wow. Never kibitz with an attorney. Okay, so she also was about that age. She was past childbearing. And he says, your petition has been heard. So now let's figure that they'd been married a long, long time. And he prayed for children and didn't get it. I mean, there's things I know about some of you, and you know probably know about me, that you've prayed for and you don't see. You prayed a long time. And you, in one way, you've just kind of given up on it and made your peace with it, because what's the point? I've been praying for this for so long, nothing happened. But I'm going to tell you today, the Lord remembers. Zacharias, his name means the Lord remembers. He remembers. And he says, your petition has been heard. I can almost hear Zacharias say, what petition? You're scaring me to death. What's going on? And then the angel tells him this, and Zacharias, God bless Zacharias, but he says to the angel, how can I know this for sure? Now, there are some people in this church that would say that. I know who you are. How? I want proof. Okay, what is it? You believe then receive rather than know and then believe? He says, Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? For I'm an old man. I know you're an angel, but I don't know where you came from exactly, but I don't think you know how old I am. I don't think you realize how difficult this is going to be in the big scheme of things. I mean, I appreciate the fact that you came in and made this a very special prayer service for me. And I can't wait to get outside and tell everybody that I saw an angel, because I've never heard anybody seeing an angel. I'm thrilled to death about that, but I don't know how this can happen. And the angel answered him. I mean, he's having a conversation with an angel. And he said to him, now this would just blow me away. I'm Gabriel. What? Yeah. You know, the one that Daniel prayed? You know, 21 days, the battle? Same Gabriel. I've been around a long time. And I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent here. I've been sent here to speak to you, to bring you good news. How we sabotage ourselves so many times. We just sabotage ourselves with our mind, having to know, I got to figure. God is good. He's good all the time. He's at work, both to will and to work His good pleasure. All things work out for good, even when they're bad, to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And He says, behold, you shall be silent and and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you good news. And behold, you want to know for certain? I'll do this. You'll be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. So Zacharias basically couldn't talk. But if you go to the last part of the chapter, you'll see he also couldn't hear. He came out a deaf mute. And so when he comes out, the people are looking at him, and he's going, And then it says the people discerned that he had seen a vision. They didn't know what was going on. And so I love this next part. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, where are you? This is all Zacharias is. He's you and me. He's just a normal person. He's an earthen vessel. His wife was just a normal person, Elizabeth. Elizabeth means the oath of God or the covenant of God. So we have the light bearer, Luke, writing Luke to Theophilus, who is the friend of God, to Zacharias, who is in the story to say the Lord remembers his covenant to Elizabeth, who is the oath of God. And here we are. And then that you're going to have a son that's going to show the graciousness of God, and his name is John. And so that's half of the equation. The second half begins in Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee called Nazareth. I'm going to read it from up here because I can't see. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, okay, I want you to stop there. I don't know where Mary was, but she was inside. Okay, this one, he's in the temple, but this one, Mary, people say anything from 14 to 17, 15, and Mary's already betrothed. And in that culture, that's like being married. It's just they haven't consummated it yet, but all the preparation and the contractual and family things. And so she's there, and it says, and coming in. So you're at your kitchen, you with your earthen vessel, you're just doing the dishes, and all of a sudden the slider opens up, and in walks Gabriel. Can you imagine? Next one. Back up one. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept wondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid." There it is again. "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, I want to say something about that. You cannot buy God's favor. You cannot be educated for it. You can't be humble enough for it. You can't earn it. His favor, if you have it, and you do as his child, and understand you have favor with God as you align your heart to God. You have found favor with God. Keep going. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can I know this for certain?" She didn't say that. Here's the difference. How can this be? Not that I'm not believing you. I just don't see how it can be because I'm a virgin. Not, do you know I'm a virgin? I'm a virgin. How can this be from a virgin? Keep going. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth," remember Elizabeth? What I didn't tell you is he was a deaf mute. He went home. Somehow, she got pregnant. And now, Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. So this is 6 months or so after Zechariah, 6, 7 months, whatever, that Zechariah had this vision, and he still can't talk. Okay, go ahead. For nothing will be impossible with God. Would you say that with me? Okay, now, how many struggle with that? How many know that, that's as true as John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave. How many of us believe that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him? That scripture is just as real as that. Nothing will be impossible with God. Powerful, powerful statement. When I think of these two, it's just an amazing. Elizabeth conceives. She's on cloud nine. Zacharias hasn't said a word. Gabriel again shows up. First time to an old married couple who was a priest. Apparently he forgot his Bible lessons because his Bible lesson told him about Abraham and Sarah, that age had nothing to do with it when God wants to bring an Isaac into your situation. I mean, the circumstances really don't matter. They do and they don't. I get it. We live in a time-space world, but when God wants to do something, he's going to do it. And he's going to bring John the Baptist into the world whether Zacharias responded correctly or not. For as truly as he lives, all the earth will be filled with his glory. And he had grace. He wasn't punishing Zacharias. He was just giving him a little tweak to let him get a hold of it. Because Zacharias, who knows what Zacharias would have said when he came out of there. And God probably said, I just don't want him to mess it up. I don't want Zacharias witnessing next Sunday about this. I want it the way it is. Gabriel, shut him up. Keep him quiet. They're going to get pregnant. His petition's been heard, and we're not done yet in this whole thing. And by the way, it's been 6 months. I want you to go visit Mary, this little girl of all the women in history. Why this girl? All the scripture says is she found favor in God's sight. And the humility when she says, I don't understand, I don't know how this could happen, but be it done according to your word. Be it done according to your word. And it says the angel left. And then the next thing, she goes over to her cousin's house, and she's with Elizabeth for 3 months. And the rest of the story is an incredible story, as you know. Joseph had to deal with the idea that Mary was pregnant. And Joseph said, looks at her, who is it? The Holy Spirit. Okay, got it. He wants to divorce her, put her away, but he was a good man. He didn't just throw her under the bus. And then an angel comes to him. Hey, hold on. This is of God. This is a big deal, what's going on right here. And then he changes. And then the rest becomes the Christmas story. Both births were miraculous and absolutely amazing. One, an old married couple, late in life, it's a miracle. The second, the biggest miracle of all, a virgin birth. Nothing matches this birth of Jesus, preeminent and unique. The key to all of this that I want to close with as we're thinking about this, there's lots of keys, but that the Lord is with you. Is he? I want the touchy-feely part. I want to say he's with you just as much as we, Hunter and I, walk out today arm in arm. We're together. Is he with you? The Lord is with you. The Lord remembers. The Lord is our Redeemer. The Lord, when you get to Mary's name, Mary means bitter because as you read the prophecy, it said it would pierce her soul because she raised this boy. She nursed this boy. She didn't understand it all. She understood some things, but she was a great ponderer, and she was there. She lived through John, this wonderful child that's rejoiced to see him beheaded. She lived through Jesus being spit and upon crucified and rejected by his closest people. She lived through a lot of pain. She lived through being a widow in a very poor area of the world and difficulty. Probably, we see Joseph at age 12 for Jesus. So she had 12 years with Joseph. We don't know anything beyond that. But she was probably in her 30s, mid-30s, late 30s, maybe early, I don't know, early 40s. And she's a widow for the rest of her life. Be it done according to thy word. Listen to this young girl. Listen to what she says. Peter's going to sing this on Christmas Eve. Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for my humble state of his bondslave. For behold, this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear him." It's pretty good. She had a little bit of substance to her, wouldn't you say? "He has done mighty things with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart and has brought down rulers from their throne. And he has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. And I want to do one more, and then that has to do with Zacharias. Now, she's just met with Gabriel. Gabriel's left. She's gone and visited Elizabeth. When she visited Elizabeth, I'm not sure Elizabeth could explain Zacharias to Mary. Could she? She came in, I can imagine Mary coming, how's Zacharias? He doesn't listen to anything. He's not talking a whole lot. Zacharias, she comes in. That's it. Let's read this. It's just so powerful. Beginning in verse 57. Sometimes it's good just to get washed in the scriptures. And Peter, you just go verse by verse as fast as I read it. "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy towards her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, 'No. Indeed, he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'There's no one among your relatives who's called by that name.' And they made signs to his father." Zacharias, as to what are you, okay, he's still the father, even though he can't, what do you want him called? Zacharias goes, "His name is John." And they were astonished. You can't appreciate that unless you appreciate Jewish heritages and lineages, but this is way out. We just have fun with names if it sounds like a Coca-Cola bottle. But to them, to them, a name had great substance. Keep going. "And at once his mouth," okay, he writes down his name will be John. Hallelujah. "At once his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he began to speak and praise to God. Fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were being talked about in all the hills of Judea, country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, 'What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him.'" We skipped the whole, we're on 67? Yeah. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. And he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. And he has spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father. Keep going. To grant that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. He's looking at this baby, his son, and prophesying, speaking for the first time in maybe a year. You shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the ways the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by their forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's enough. Says he waxed strong. So we have this amazing story. Later, Jesus says of John the Baptist, there was no one greater born of man than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's worth pondering. Zacharias said, how can I trust you? How can you and I trust God in what we're facing? Mary pondered, she wondered how it could be. And he said, be it done according to thy word. Simple people, human beings like you and I, carrying a treasure in an earthen vessel. God is at work in you, in your vessel, in this thing that houses you. That's why we're not to defile the vessel, because there's something very precious. I guarantee you, I have a bad habit, several actually, but one of them is, how many have seen me talk with coffee and swing it back and forth? Okay, and every time I'm talking to somebody, I do this, and they stop looking at me, and they're looking at my hand. And my goal is to get it to go up to the rim and not go out and come back. So you're talking, you know, and people get nervous. Now, it's really bad if you use a glass of red wine or something like that on a white couch. And I had the unfortunate experience of spilling, and now I forgot totally what my point was. What do you think my point was? Anybody? I'll just put it this way. God remembers. Maybe I'm just not supposed to do that with the coffee. That might be the thing. But it's incredibly important. I know, and I've shared this with the men, maybe with everyone here, but when Cade had his difficult thing, I went through my whole life in memory with God and prayers that I could remember at points in my life, even before I had given my whole life to him. And it just, my faith was just going through the roof because God, I know God remembers. I know God remembers. And I know that Emmanuel, God with us, if he is with us, who can be against us? One, we put 1,000 to flight, with 2, 10,000. He has a purpose on our life that counts. I don't know if there would have been that rejoicing with John if they said, and he's going to be beheaded when he's 33. And Mary, you're going to have some years, but you're going to be a widow. And Jesus will be perfect. He'll do the perfect son. He'll be everything. He will do everything, heal the sick, he raised the dead, he did all, but his payoff is he's going to be crucified, mocked, and rejected. Now, I don't understand all that I should understand about all these things, except to say, wherever the journey takes you and I, it's God at work. And we need to stop being babies, complaining about it, and saying, I don't get this, I don't get that. It's time to teeth, you know, breaks through the gums. It's time to eat solid food. It's time to go forth, and things won't go your way. When you get in an argument, you say you're sorry instead of taking your ball and going home. If you have conflict, you don't pull away. You work through these things because God remembers, and you're at work. And if we can't make it happen among ourselves and those we touch, we can't make it happen. Why do we want to export that? One last quote. I shared this a few weeks ago. He said, it's by Anonymous, one of my favorite authors. He answered prayer not in the way I sought, nor in the way that I had thought he thought, but in his own good way, and I could see he answered in the fashion best for me. God remembers. The light bearer Luke, writing to the friend of God Theophilus, Zacharias, the Lord remembers, to Elizabeth, the covenant, the oath of God to have a son, John, the Lord is gracious, who, if you go back to Malachi, John was in the spirit of Elijah, to Mary, who would suffer pain in the midst of her joy, just as Naomi did, and just as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and others battled having children, and the pain that comes, but she was going to be okay because she had a son whose name's Jesus, which means salvation. That's the end ticket. Let's stand. Hey, let's try this just as a closing thought. Just turn to somebody and say it with a little bit of enthusiasm. Fear not.
Fear not.
I mean, say it like you mean it.
Fear not.
Okay. Okay. Let's try this one. Turn to somebody again and say, stop being afraid. Just get in their face. Okay. All right. Fear's become too much of a bosom buddy. Fear can keep you up all night, but faith is one fine pillow. So let's stop being afraid. Fear is a healthy emotion, but God's at work. What do you got, Pat, for the close? You got something? Okay, let's determine. And I love all you earthen vessels, but I tell you what, I see a treasure in you that is beyond anything you can imagine, and certainly that I can imagine.